Okay. This is Colossians part 16. Let's pray, and then we'll consider the word of the Lord. Pray with me, please. Well, Lord, I come and I ask that you please do what only you can do. And that is, my Lord, to open the eyes of our understanding, to illuminate us by the power of your Spirit to the truth of your word. Only you can do that, God. And I pray that you would do that, God. I long to see our hearts ablaze with the passion for your glory. So would you ignite a fire in us today? Would you please, my Lord? Thank you for the words that have been preserved for us, the words of the Apostle Paul that we read, which are really, truly the words of God, the very words of God. So may we hear them, Lord, with deep appreciation for the great gift that is ours. In Jesus' strong and mighty name. Amen. 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 I have the worst mosquito bite I've ever had, and I'm trying my best not to scratch it. So never mind. I'm going to do something a little different today. What I intend to do today is to put the car in reverse and back up. And it's almost laughable, I would say, to tell you that we have sped past some things, but I think we've sped past some things. Some things we dare not speed past. Okay? So I want to take you somewhere today. You want to go? I want you to follow me somewhere. And I've been saying in private conversations recently, some of you have heard me say this, others of you may not have, I'm not a leader. It's not my gift. And it's expected of me, you know. It's what's expected of the pastor. He's supposed to be a leader. But it's not my gift. I'm a teacher, not a leader. That's a little bit precarious sometimes because I'm supposed to be a leader too. At least that's what people expect of me. But if you will follow me, I want to take you somewhere today. I want to lead you somewhere to something. I feel a little bit of leadership in my soul today. You want to go? You want to go? Let's go somewhere. And when I tell you where I want to take you, you're probably going to say, we've already been there, done that. But I'm not certain that we have. So where I want to take you today is where the glory of God blazes brighter than 10,000 suns. I want you to see the glory of God. I want you to go with me, okay? So I had a conversation with Josh Lund this week, and he said to me, sometimes we need to come down from the mountaintop and get our hands dirty and serve. And I responded to Josh, I think the problem is that most of us haven't been to the mountaintop. I think the problem is most of us haven't been to the mountaintop. And if you seek to serve and get your hands dirty out of any other motivation than being ablaze with the glory of God that's experienced at the mountaintop, it will be dull, lifeless. So Josh, I'm more convinced than when I said that to you. The more I've thought about it and prayed about it, I fear, my concern is that we haven't been to the mountaintop. So please stick with me just a little bit. It might sound like I'm saying I'm more spiritual than you or better than you, and please, that's not what I'm about. And if you know me, you know that. I don't present myself as something spiritual, some super spiritual giant. Because I'm a man with clay feet, and I sin every day of my life. But I've been to the mountaintop, and I'm dying to take you with me. I'm dying for you to come with me. And when I say I'm dying, I mean dying in the sense that laying down my pride and my rights and my dignity and everything else I can lay down. People who've been to the mountaintop can't be constrained. They're going to tell somebody. They've got to tell somebody. It's a fire shut up in their bones. You with me so far? So I'm going to say it. Please, again, don't take this as trying to come off super spiritual. But in recent months, I've been to the mountaintop. And I won't now be content to stand there alone. I want you to go with me. And I want you to want others to go with you. And the mountaintop is this: the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And maybe you've been there, and maybe you're standing there now, but I've got to be sure. So today's message is different, okay? This is a different message, different type of message than you're accustomed to hearing from me. This is testimonial, invitational. This is something different, okay? It is all about me being sure that you're seeing what I'm seeing. Because there is a blessedness in my life right now that I don't want to go unnoticed in your life. John Piper talks about the ridiculousness of looking into a mirror while standing at the brink of the Grand Canyon. So if there are mirrors in our hands today, if we are self-absorbed, we really need to let go of those mirrors and look at something that is really beautiful, the glory of God in the face of Christ. So we read last week from Colossians 2, verses 8 and 9, as Paul begins to defend against false Christ, false gospels, which are, he says, no gospel at all. And he said last week, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to the human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of this world, and not according to Christ, for in him the whole fullness of God dwells bodily." Okay? So last week, that's where we started to identify hollow and deceptive philosophies. But here's where I want us to put the car in reverse. What we started last week and what we'll get back to at some point, I don't know, next week or 10 months down the road, is vitally important, guarding the truth of who Christ is. But I don't want us to turn that corner until the stuff that we've gone through so far is really, really, really real. Okay? So let's go in reverse. I'm going to read several passages in between, talk about them. You guys cool with this, that I'm doing things differently? Okay. Colossians 2, verses 1 through 7. "I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all those who've not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of the complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving." The word of the Lord. So there are two things that Paul is aiming at, a twofold ambition. First, that you may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And secondly, that you may overflow with thanksgiving. Twice Paul says, I'm doing this in order that this might occur, in order that this might occur, in order that this final thing happen. At the bottom of the first list, he says, knowing Christ and treasuring him. At the bottom of the second, Christ being rightly praised, thanked, and honored. So I've been saying it this way. That Christ be treasured, and that Christ be magnified. John Piper says, Christ prized and Christ praised. We exist. You exist. I'm looking for my flashlight. I was going to shine it on some people. I don't know why. Josh shined this in my eyes the other day and I got fascinated because it's really, really bright. You exist. You exist for no other purpose than this. Sorry, I'll turn it off. To know Christ and to make Him known. To treasure Him and to magnify Him. To prize Him and to praise Him. The Westminster Confession says, the chief end of man is that he may glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So Paul's ambition for his life and the life of the church and the life of every person that he encountered is that Christ be known and made known, treasured and magnified, prized and praised. And to the degree that that ambition is achieved, lives have meaning and purpose. And any other life, any other ambition is ultimately and finally a waste. If I do not know Christ and if I do not make Him known, if that's not my ambition, if that's not what I live for, I am wasting the life. God gave me. I don't want to live a wasted life, y'all, do you? I want to use my life for the very purpose that God created it. And I say to you, that purpose is knowing Him, intimately treasuring Him with all that I am, with my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength, my body, my everything. And then to the world around me, saying, this is the Christ who is my everything, and I will adore Him. Okay, let's back up a little further. Colossians 1, 24 through 29. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you. By the way, I'm going to stop here before I read this. Those of you who are visiting, it took us 15 weeks to get through what we're now going to cover today. Okay, we're just reviewing, and I might review this for, I don't know. I might review this for forever. It might be the only thing I ever preach to you. And if it is, it'll be my delight to preach this forever and ever. Freddie said made the statement one time. I go back to this again and again. It must be the delight of every grace preacher to say, I get to say it again. I get to say it again. It is a delight. So I don't know how long I'm going to do this, okay? I just know that I know what I want you to know. I see what I want you to see, and maybe you see it already. But just in case, okay? Back again, 24. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of His body, which is the church. I've become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all His energy, which so powerfully works through me. Again, the word of the Lord. It's So that not only is the glory of Christ Paul's ambition, but he is so ambitious for it that he happily, joyfully suffers to see it achieved. And my friends, Paul's not speaking empty words here. He suffered. He suffered beatings. He suffered imprisonment. He ultimately suffered the loss of his life for the gospel, all the while saying, I joyfully do this. Because it's achieving the end of knowing Christ and making him known. He said in another place in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Interestingly, I encountered that verse on the internet this week, some discussion board. And somebody posted, I don't get that whole concept of counting your life nothing. And the reason we don't get that is because we haven't seen something worth more than our own lives. David said, thy loving kindness is better. Better than life. And if I die and in dying gain his loving kindness, I have gained and only gained. So in other words, I have found something worth living for, Paul is saying, and something worth dying for. And if I die in serving my king, I die happy and I die the gainer. Friends, Paul's not a masochist. And he's not even completely altruistic. He endures trouble and persecution for the same reason Jesus Christ endured the cross, the joy set before him. Yes? Through the momentary afflictions, the glory of God is being revealed, and that is worth it all. Listen, those who treasure Christ serve joyfully. Those who treasure Christ give cheerfully. Those who treasure Christ suffer rejoicing. And if they die happy. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that is far better, Paul says. Here's the secret. Those who treasure Christ own the only thing that matters, and they can kiss the rest goodbye. Those who treasure Christ are the most joyous people on earth because they found what matters. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Hallelujah. Christ is all I have. And I am rich beyond measure. I am rich beyond measure. And I want to see you rich beyond measure. If you're not. And I want you to feel that, you know. I want you to feel overwhelmingly wealthy. Who feels overwhelmingly rich here today? Overwhelmingly. I want the rest of you to feel overwhelmingly. I want you to feel so rich that you're jumping up and down with laughter and happiness and joy because I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. Listen, my net worth is probably like $3,000. I'm poor. $4,000. All right, furniture and car, all right, $6,000. I am rich, and I feel rich because I have the only thing that matters. I want you to feel that. No one who truly treasures Christ is content to hoard the treasure. If I hoard it is because I'm not content. And if I'm not content, I have not treasured Christ, because He satisfies, He fills, He contents, He quenches, and then demands by His very nature that that treasure be shared. Through serving, through presenting, through being in the world a light for Christ. The way we speak, the way we live. I'm not just talking about sharing our faith, although that's important. But in my relationship to everything, I'm seeking to share the wealth. Okay, let's back it up again. Colossians 1:21-23. Hang on a second. I'll turn my microphone off here. So I'll be kind to those people, and not to you guys. Okay, verse, we're going to read 1:21-23. Still with me? 1:21-23. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Again, the word of the Lord. Okay, so far this is what we've said. The ambition that Christ be treasured and magnified. Then we look at the lengths to which Christ's treasurers will go to make Him known and magnified, i.e., they will suffer joyfully. Now we look at the lengths to which Christ went to make this treasure available. Namely, He endured the death of the cross. His physical body was broken and His blood poured out. Because without that sacrifice, the glory of God is not good news. And that He will be revealed in glory is not good news. It is not good news except for those who are the sort of creature who can, who are fit to enjoy that glory. Listen, wretched sinners aren't fit to enjoy God's glory. His glory is their undoing, it is their utter destruction. But somehow God came on the scene and He did a miracle and He took wretched sinners who continue to be sinners in and of themselves, but He transformed them. We were alienated from God and His enemies, but we have been reconciled. And our alienation and our enmity have been removed completely and permanently through Christ's death on the cross. So that which was once our white hot agony, the glory of God, is now in Christ our unspeakable joy and magnificent delight. And Christ Jesus did this. We did not. We could not reconcile ourselves to God. We would not reconcile ourselves to God. We chose alienation and enmity, but God, Christ has rescued us from that awful and fatal choice. You made the wrong choice, Adam, and Adam's seed. You chose alienation and hostility to the living God. But Christ rescued us. He came, and He scooped us up out of that mess. That's what Christ did. In order that you can have the treasure, my friends, because it wasn't your treasure. It was completely cut off from you. Put it in reverse once more. As we gaze upon the treasure Himself, Christ Jesus our Lord, Colossians 1:15-20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created. I can't see where I'm reading. By him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things in heaven or on earth, get this back, you know, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Okay. Listen. I don't know if you know it, but I just read to you words that describe the treasure. Words that describe what your heart longs for. If you are hungry, if you are longing, if you are empty, I just read for you words which describe the only thing that will fill you. Christ Jesus. That's it. That's the treasure. That person, the one who is fully God and fully man, is the treasure. And he is precious. Precious indeed. He satisfies fully, he delights measurelessly. He is the purpose and the meaning and the fulfillment of the human heart. He is Lord. Okay. Something's changed in my life. And I don't know exactly how. And I don't know exactly when. But something has changed. I'm not a different person. I'm a fuller person than I've ever been in my life. In the last 6 months, God has done something that has absolutely rocked my world. And that's what I desperately want for your life, if it's not rocked your world. Because what's happened for me is the treasure has really, really, really become my treasure. He really has. I told you, I feel rich. There are times, you know, I'm always commenting about the fact that, you know, I just well up with tears, and it's like, you know, that freaks people out. And I actually prayed to the Lord today and said, Lord, well, I pray to the Lord every day, by the way, just in case you're wondering. Except Mondays, that's my day off. No, just kidding. I prayed to the Lord this morning, okay, God, you know, I really don't want tears to interfere with what I'm saying. You know, I don't want that to distract. So help me not to cry too much, you know. But this is so moving to me. I can't help it sometimes. It just is like, I tell God, I feel like my heart and my head are just, you know, there's so much going on in there that it's like, you know, you remember on Get Smart, the room that closed in on people? Well, it's like the reverse of that. It's pushing out. You remember that on Get Smart? They'd get stuck in that room, and last minute they'd always get something to keep them from... And Anna remembers. The rest of you are looking like, I don't remember that. And then the diamond that cut glass, right? Yeah, the diamond ring. The treasure has really become my treasure. The knowledge of Christ in my mind has become the treasure of Christ in my heart. I have, and I'm going to put some qualifier on here in a second, I have, in the words I used earlier, been to the mountaintop. And I'm standing there still, awestruck. Absolutely awestruck. And anybody who's not standing there with me, I'm saying with all my heart, you've got to see this. You've never seen anything like this. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you don't. So I was trying to think, it's probably been about 5 years ago since I first used the phrase, Christ is my highest and only true treasure. And I used that, I think, first in reference to Job, when we were going through Job. Christ, my highest and only true treasure. And I've always been careful to add that I'm pressing toward that. That's not what I've already obtained, and that's still true. I'm still not, you know, there's more peaks to the mountaintop, yeah? But over the last 6 months, it's really started to get a hold of my heart that Christ is really, truly my only, highest and only true treasure. He really is. Once in a while, something else grabs my heart. And by the way, you know, I think to myself, is this some passing phase that Greg's going through? You know? I hope not, and if it is, I'll be happy to have gone through it. Will I ever come down from this mountaintop? I think I'd rather stay here and say, hey, y'all, come here! John Wesley used to give this advice to Methodist preachers. If you don't have faith, preach faith until you've got it. So in my estimation, I have preached Christ as treasured until I really have Christ as treasure. Joey, you just walked through the door and just in time to hear me say, one of our young people posted on Facebook this week, I get my buzz from Jesus. And I responded, dude, me too. And then later I went back and said, I'm tripping. I'm tripping. I'm tripping, y'all. I'm intoxicated almost every day, never having known joy like I know it now. I've preached Christ as treasure until He's become my treasure, and I can't even tell you how good it is. Are you wanting to ask me a question, Jordan? All right, buddy. It's yours. If it will serve the kingdom of God, if it will serve to bring people to the kingdom of God, you can have my car. I don't know why anybody would want it. You know, it's old and, you know, it runs real well. And I'm dying for you to join me. I really want you to join me. And everyone who joins, you'll be dying to bring everyone else to the mountaintop. I can say it no other way than this. I've had revival in my soul. Join me, please. In closing, there's a very well-known verse that yesterday really struck me for the first time in what this verse really, I think, is getting at. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you what? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So what's that mean? The promise is your heart will be full if you make the Lord your delight. Your heart will be full. Your longings, your emptiness, your discontent will give way to a heart full to overflowing if you make the Lord your delight. God promised that, my friends. what's required of me and what's required of you is that I make the Lord my delight, and if I do, my heart will be full to overflowing. If you're empty today, the commandment of the Lord that will bring fulfillment is delight yourself in Him. Full with what? Full with the very thing that you delight in. To delight in Him means that He is your heart's desire. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you to the full what you desire, namely Himself. And you will be full, content, overflowing. Here's the other side of the story. Delight yourself in anything else and your heart will remain empty. Delight yourself in anything else and you will never know the desires of your heart being fully met. I know, I've tried. Nothing else fills the desires of my heart. How about you? Did the flat screen TV fulfill the desires of your heart? No. Did the motorcycle fulfill the desires of your heart? Does getting a good tan in Aruba fulfill the desires of your heart? You know, those are good things, and we love those things, but you know what? They don't fulfill the desires of our heart. None of it does. None of it does. So come with me, please. Come with me. Taste with me. See with me that the Lord is good, that He's really good. In fact, He's the only really good thing. It's the only really good. The problem is I don't know how to draw a roadmap. I don't know how to draw a roadmap. I want you to come with me, but I don't have a roadmap. But I'll tell you this. Okay, so far today, how many of you have like said, you know, yeah, I need a little more of that. I need a lot more of that. I need some glory of Christ revealed in my heart and life. I need some joy, I need some happiness, I need some contentment. The only thing I can tell you as far as roadmap is concerned is that God says, can't remember exactly how the verse goes, I will be found of you. You seek me with all your heart. So here's what I'm going to say, y'all. Get in your head right now. There is a place where I can find absolute fulfillment. My pastor told me so, and more than that, the Bible told me so. Get that in your head. And govern your thoughts and your life and your choices accordingly. Seek Him with all your heart, and His promise is He will be found. And you'll find fullness that you've never known.
it's not enough for me to have seen what I've seen in the last 6 months. It's not enough. I want you to see it if you've not. And then I want you to want others to see it. Because there's a place of fulfillment like no other. I promise. God promises.
So all I know to do is to pray for you. And I have been, by the way. I prayed especially this week that this is not my usual sermon, right? But I pray that God would use it to pique your interest, at least. If not, just bring you there. I want you to come with me and see the blazing glory of God, blazing more than 10,000 suns, infinitely more. I want your hearts full to overflowing. You know what? God wants you there. He delights to reveal His glory to those who will seek His face. He loves to see me happy. He loves to see me overflowing with joy, and He knows, and He has told me, there's one place close communion with me, seek my face, know me, experience my glory. Listen, there are heights of depths that I cannot reach till I cross the narrow sea. I know that. I'm not saying I've arrived. But God somehow just got me somewhere I've never been before, and it's good. Come on.